An unsettling milestone, it's fair to say, nearly 21 years after the Lockerbie bombing, the Pan Am jet that was brought down by terrorists over Lockerbie, Scotland.
It is my decision that Mr. Abdel Basset Ali Mohamed Al-Megrahi, convicted in 2001 for the Lockerbie bombing, now terminally ill with prostate cancer, be released on compassionate grounds and are allowed to return to Libya to die.
That is Scottish Justice Secretary Kenny McCaskill announcing his ruling in Edinburgh today. He's freed the Lockerbie bomber on, as he said, compassionate grounds. December 21st, 1988, a bomb exploded aboard Pan Am Flight 103 as it flew over Lockerbie, Scotland. 270 people inside and outside that plane were killed. And Alan Cowell, senior correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, you covered that Lockerbie story. First of all, 21 years later, what does this milestone mean?
I think it means a lot of things to many of the people involved, but I don't think it's going to make anybody particularly happy, certainly not the American families who have been mourning their lost ones now for 21 years. I don't think it will make the British families particularly happy at events either, because it means that the chances of having the case reopened will be lost when Mr. Megrahi flies back to Libya. Although he has now dropped an appeal against his conviction, but he still maintains his innocence. He hasn't withdrawn that. And, of course, any further action, any further legal action that could have led to a reopening of the case in Scotland now seems very unlikely.
Alan Cowell, this is Amy Holmes here. Earlier in the show, we talked to Susan Cohen, a mother of a woman who was killed at age of 20 in this Pan Am flight, and she was very angry, very passionate about this decision.
Absolutely just appalling to talk about, compassionate release for a mass murderer like this.
Alan, are you hearing similar reactions from British families?
The British families have been rather more silent, because they've always maintained that many of them, and the people who speak for them, they've never accepted the conviction. There's always been a belief in Britain that the evidence that was brought against Megrahi was always circumstantial, that they believe his protestations of innocence, and they want a broader inquiry to look into the conspiracy that lay behind this. They see Mr. Megrahi much more as a fool guy than as a perpetrator, so they would not experience the same grief as American families who seen his conviction and his sentencing and his staying in prison as the only form of justice that they've received since 1988.
Well, Alan Cowell, perhaps conspiracy is the apt term here, whether you're a British victim or an American victim. And again, I should mention you're a senior correspondent for the New York Times, covered the Lockerbie bombing as well as covering this particular story. The Scottish say that legally they have to release him if he is terminally ill, but there is a suspicion on the part of victims that there is some side deal being made here between the justice officials and the mystery man himself, Muammar Gaddafi, who victims say knows all about what happened in 1988.
Well, of course, if you go back to the 80s and look at what was going on then and the kind of things that Libya was accused of, that was when Libya was a pariah state. As Colonel Gaddafi supported any number of movements that would be regarded as terrorists these days. He, of course, has personally denied knowing anything about the detail of the Lockerbie case, but against that, he's paid $2.7 billion in compensation, if that's the right word, to the families of those who were lost on that day, on that night in December 1988. So, yes, there is plenty of room for speculation about a wider conspiracy.
Is there any legal option for reopening the case and getting some of those questions answered, or does the whole question of who and what was behind the Lockerbie bombing die with Megrahi?
I think the way things stand at the moment, there's nothing in Scotland that's likely to happen. He's withdrawn his appeal against his sentence. That might have opened up some of the evidence that was not completely publicized from a Scottish judicial review in 2007 relating to this case and enabling him to make a second appeal. The only other appeal outstanding is by the Scottish authorities, who had complained that his sentence was not severe enough, and they have until early September to withdraw that appeal. It is not very clear what they plan to do, but there's certainly no means at the moment or no obvious channel for further legal action that would throw more light onto this case or indeed expose any other perpetrators other than Mr. McGrahee, who of course is the only convict. He has been tried by Scottish judges, and he has been sentenced, and he has been found guilty.
So, Alan, here's just a process question. Now that he's been released, will he be able to travel freely?
I think that's the plan, is so that he, even as we speak, he may be getting ready, if he's not already on his way, to Glasgow Airport. Mr. McCaskill, the Justice Minister, did say that within an hour of the news conference at which this decision was announced, Mr. McGrahee would be leaving Greenock Prison. He'd be on his way to Glasgow Airport. There have been reports that a plane is being sent by the Libyan authorities, by Colonel Gaddafi himself, to fly him home.
And Alan Cowell, senior correspondent for the New York Times, the takeaway there is, will there be a hero's welcome of any kind, a very public sort of welcoming home of McGrahee inside Libya? Many of the family victims have mentioned that that would be a painful picture for them to see indeed. Alan Cowell, thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.